eyes thumbing through the want ads in the Shelby County Tribune.
Welcome back to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today we're going to hear one special episode of Albums Without Borders as George speaks with his special guest Isabel on C.W. McCall, a 70s country trucker. Enjoy the show.
He says, yeah. I says, where are you? He says, 14 East on County 12. Turn right on the one-lane gravel road. You can park in the yard. Beware of the dog. Wipe your feet off. Knock three times and bring your billfold. Well, I tooled on East on County 12. Turned right on the one-lane gravel road. And I parked in the yard. And a German Shepherd come out and grabbed on my leg. Then I knocked three times to wipe my feet. The dog let go and the screen door opened. And Bob come out and says, what do you want? Says, come see your truck. He says, follow me. Come on, Frank. The dog's name is Frank. Well, we all went past the chicken house, through the hog pen, down to the tractor shed, and then wound up in back of the barn field of cow pies. And sitting right there in a pool of grease was a half-ton Chevy pickup truck with a 1960 license plate, a bumper sticker says Vote for Dick, and a Brillo box full of rusty parts. And Bob says, what do you think? Well, I kicked the tire and then got in the seat and sat on a petrified apple core and found a bunch of field mice living in the glove compartment. He says their shaft is bent and the rear end leaks. You can fix her quick with an oil or rag. Use a nail starter. I lost the key. Don't pay any mind to that whirring sound. She used a little oil, but outside of that, she's cherry. I says, what'll it take? Says, what do you got? It says, $28.15. Says, you got a deal, sign here. I'll go get the title and the can full of gas. I put a nail in the slot and fired her up. She coughed and belched up a bunch of smoke, and I backed her right through the hog pen into the yard. Well, Frank jumped in, bit my leg, and I beat him off the crowbar. He jumped on out, and the door fell off, and the left front tire went flat. I jacked it up and patched the tube, and Frank tore a piece of my shirt off. And then Bob come out and called him off, says, you better get on out of here. I went left on the one-lane gravel road, went 14 west in County 12, took two full quarts of 40-weight oil just to get her to the Conoco station. And I pulled up to the regular pump, and then Harold Sykes and his kid come out and says, I'd seen better stuff at the junkyard, and where'd you ever get that truck? I said, that's a long story, Harold. I was thumbing through the want ads in the Shelby County Tribune when this classified advertisement caught my eye. It said take immediate delivery.
Welcome back to World Radio Paris. This is Albums Without Borders, a show where we take an album and binge it for like a week or so and make some haphazard conversation around it. Let's see where it takes us this week. I'm here with my good friend Isabel.
Hello, I'm Isabel.
And we are doing this week something a little unusual compared to most albums. Most albums, I was going to say most albums are like pop their music, but this definitely would qualify, right?
For its era, it was popular. Yeah. We're doing, which is like funny about it.
C.W. McCall, which is some 1970s trucking music.
Truck country, to be specific. Yeah.
Truck country.
And it also shows up as
opposed to truck pop.
Right? Yeah. Truck reggae is my go-to.
Is hard.
No, and it also shows up under outlaw country, which is funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because the intersection of trucking and outlaw behavior. Is an interesting one to me because it seems like such a benign task, like such a how.
Yeah, and so many of his, we'll get to this, but in so many songs, he's like, the coppers are after me.
Yeah,
you're
just, exactly.
You're driving a truck. Like, what are you doing?
Smokies, yeah.
What is he running from? What is in his truck?
Yeah, all I can think of is he's like over the weight limit or like maybe you're going over the speed limit. But apparently it's like very, very significant in terms of the imagery of outlaw country stuff in the 1970s.
Yeah, in fact, my dad should be waking up like now. And at one point, wake up, Dave. And we should call him because he said that this, like, he was a lot. I mean, he was born in like 58, but this music made him want to be a trucker. Like, he said it was like you were a little boy and you wanted to be a cowboy.
Yeah.
And then like when you got into your teens, like you're like, oh, fuck, I can't be a cowboy. And then McCall was like, no, you can be a trucker. And that's basically the same thing.
No, yeah.
You don't have to see your wife regularly and you drink a lot and you're on the road. It's like the same kind of vibe. And
there is like, an allure to that, I would imagine. I'm not married, but I like to drink.
Mm.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not drinking before they go out driving.
Well, but there's a song where they're like, they're speeding down and they almost get, and that one's my favorite one. Anyway, but
they all get,
they're drunk, I'm sure, and smoking cigars.
But, But yeah, that intersection of being like a rebel and then just being, to me, truckers are just like, I know they make decent money and they have a decent amount of freedom to their life, and especially socially.
Yeah.
It might get, you know, lonely or boring, but like nobody expects shit from you. But it's not an outlaw thing. It's
no, yeah, it's not like
you work for Walmart.
But technically, neither is being a cowboy. Like the movies made cowboys. Like Clint Eastwood was like, "Oh, I'm such a."
Yeah.
But in reality, you're just like feeding America. You know what I mean? Like
for real,
you're just taking care of cows.
You're
not. Yeah, you're not like.
Like chill out.
Yeah, like cowboys as they exist in the movies. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's just, it's propaganda, you know? Like, yeah. It's not real.
My grandfather, rest his soul, would fight you on those words.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure, and my uncles would too, but yeah. I don't.
Yeah. No, he would.
For the most, like, what? Okay, was your uncle killing people, like?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, my I mean, he killed people in wars, but not yeah, in, no, like.
He didn't go to war because he was the youngest son, and so he stayed back to take care of the farm. It was like a policy they had back in the day, and he was really pissed off about it because he did have that macho persona to him,
right?
So
right.
He was like, he was gung-ho about going to war, and then the government were like, no, you need to stay and take after the crops, and he was like, nice fucking bullshit.
Something of your other grandfather was in Vietnam.
My other grandfather was in Vietnam. Yeah.
But so what, but why would you,
people.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I don't want to think about that. I want to still be friends. Yeah. Yeah. But, why would your other grandpa think like what, like, being a cowboy is badass. I'm not saying it's not badass. I'm just saying it's not like, where does the
outlaw? It's not against the law.
It's not against the law.
Well, yeah. That's yeah. No, like, I don't know if he'd get mad at that. He would get mad at the, like, the de-escalation of the masculinity to it. Like,
Okay.
He would be like, yeah,
well,
no,
I'm going to de-escalate it even more. So don't even.
But that's where I get confused about the trucking aspect of, or the outlaw nature of trucking. I'm like, y'all, what?
And that all of this was for bread commercials initially. It wasn't even a truck commercial.
It's born out of like capitalism pure.
Literally pure. And we'll get into that too. But it's so, the whole album is so interesting because it's like, he's not. Like he's from Iowa, okay. Mm. But he always grew up like doing music. His whole family did music. Mm. He, like, I don't know. It's the word I'm looking for is I just forgot the word. What's when
I might need a synonym.
Like, making fun of something.
Parody.
Yeah, it's like a parody, but then
spoof.
Spoof. Yes, thank you. But it's taken as so like legitimate and real by some people, which is funny.
Yeah, no, for real. Like you were saying his whole family did music. To give a little background to C.W. McCall.
Yeah. Okay, let's give the story. We like got into analysis and.
I mean, he was born, like you said, in Iowa. He's from Iowa. He was born in Audubon, Iowa, in 1928.
Billy something Fries. What was his middle name?
Oh God, I would have to go back to the Wikipedia page.
But his name is not C.W. McCall. That's
no,
like a character.
No, it wasn't, and. We'll get on to what that stands for and what it means, where he got the name for that in a second. But, apparently he was born into a musical family. His father and his brothers had a band called the Brothers Fries, which is his original last name. And his father and his mother played ragtime tunes a lot. His father being on the violin and his mother playing piano. And just to get a good idea of ragtime, if you're not super familiar with it, because who the fuck is, is that
like
song?
1920s, like
yeah, that song that is it's it the like, frog in the Disney movies that sings?
Oh,
hello, my baby,
hello, my daughter,
honey.
Hello, my daughter.
Yeah, that one. So that's like the kind of, and you get that same music that features in the background of his of C.W. McCall's songs.
Yeah.
That like up tempo piano and plucked guitar. He studied music in college. Didn't study music. He studied commercial arts in college, but was a member of like their symphony band and that, you know, proved to be very useful later in his life, even though he might not have anticipated that's where it was going.
Yeah, yeah.
It does give me, like, hope about just keep putting a foot in front of the other. Maybe you'll
maybe one day
randomly be famous and
just selling bread, and seriously, everyone's like, wow, this is, I like this. Yeah.
Making a bread commercial. So he left after a year. He left the University of Iowa because apparently there were too many people on the GI Bill. There were so many people coming home from war and exploring college that there it was just like overload, and he felt like a little lost in the reeds, I guess. And so he dropped out of school and got a job at Trader Joe's. What a career path. That's the way to do it. Jesus Christ. Being called out on my own show. So he got a job at KMTV in Omaha, Nebraska, where he initially worked as just like a bit of a bitch boy, to be honest. Like, they just had him doing any chores that the arts station needed. And he had a bit of staying power and stayed with it, and he got promoted to manage their art department, their TV. He would work on sets and design, and in spare time would either volunteer or get hired for local ballets, local opera, and eventually got his own show on KMTV radio. KMTV radio.
KMTV.
WRP. Radio. Huh? No. WRP, World Radio Paris. Welcome back to World Radio Paris. This here is C.W. McCall. he worked as like a sign writer initially, but then after working there for about 5 years, he got his own show. That was where a lot of his creativity and creating characters would come in. He'd do a lot of caricatures on celebrities and politicians.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and it makes sense when you think about him creating this whole story, this whole different characters, and later in life with his music, which all stemmed, like you were saying, from bread commercials.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So crazy. Yeah. And I love the little, like, each song is just this little, like, story. And some of them are just really random. Like, the one where he just buys a truck, and it's, like, a really shitty truck, and he buys it for $28.50.
Mm-hmm. And he brings it to somebody.
And someone's like, where'd you get that truck? And he's like, and then, like, it's a loop. It's so, like, it's just random.
No, it really is good. It's very cinematic, his storytelling process. It's vivid in the imagery and the way it's told and the effects he uses on his voice, and you really do kind of feel like you're in a truck.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like, I mean, it's a song, but it also just feels like it's spoken word, like it just feels, it's storytelling, I think.
Absolutely, spoken word element comes into play. He's not Adele.
No, he's not singing.
No.
And I love the, like, women on the back that's like, going down. Da, da, da. Like, it's so.
Yeah, because
that's why I got to the pop charts, I think. If it was just him talking and shit, I don't know if, like, it would have ever made it to, like, the top 100 billboards in, like, the UK. Like, but it's. Convoy is a pop star because it's like, going. Like, I can't do it. I can't sing. But the little, like.
Oh, you got it.
Chorus. But, like, the little chorus is, like, so funny because.
It is ridiculous.
He's like, I'm going to, and then people that are like, la, la, going down, da, 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 da. It's
honestly,
so good.
Those parts bother me a little bit.
Me too.
Yeah, because they're like, the rest of it, he's really good at his spoken word thing.
So good, and I would not mind only that.
Like, it's low-key bars that he's rapping over the top of this, and it doesn't really, like, there's no rhyme scheme. So
no,
that's
no.
But it just fits. It just sounds nice. And then
you're interrupted.
We got to cross the USA, and you're like, all right, you don't have to do that every 10
every
seconds
time.
Like, we're good with just him, with just CW.
But that's what makes it, that's like the jingle quality,
right? No, so
that's when you're like, this is an ad.
Apparently the jingle quality comes from is it Cliff or Chris Davis, hold on, Chip Davis. So he worked after he worked at KMTV. He was also working with the ballets and operas, and I think he did that mostly pro bono.
And I love that they did ballet. Like, that seems so out of character.
Right?
That they,
I think it was just local in the town, and he wanted to help out with sets and design and everything like that.
I was working on this opera.
You can hear it now.
Yeah.
But he won an award locally, I think maybe statewide, an award for his work on the operas and the ballets that he did during his, I think, 10-year tenure at KMTV. And that caught the attention of a local advertising agency called, I thought I had it in the top of my head, but where is it?
Well, you're really bad at your job.
I'm terrible at it. Nobody listens. It's fine. Bozell and Jacobs. And yeah, they noticed that and they offered him a job and he was like, that's double my salary. I have to take that job.
Yeah. And at this point, did he have his kids yet?
I couldn't tell
you. Do you have a bill?
I couldn't tell you that. Okay. I could maybe find that answer.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, no, he got a job at Bozell and Jacobs, and that was where he had some creative freedom about how to sell the products that they were working on trying to sell, and he created this character of C.W. McCall, and when that found some success and they decided to keep going with that music, he enlisted the help of somebody who also worked at Bozell and Jacobs, which is Chip Davis, and he wrote the jingles for their advertising agency. So, C.W. McCall...
We have him to blame for...
Yeah, exactly. For those backup singers. Boy. Yeah. but yeah, no, so it kind of like perfect stormed, I guess, and he had pretty much everything he needed apart from somebody to write the music, and he had this guy working on the jingles to be like, oh, can you write these songs? Which I guess made sense. And they continued to work together after he moved away from writing jingles, even though, or advertising slots, like, they really kept the same formula, which you can hear.
Yeah. It's like the same. Yeah, that's funny. And so, yeah, so it's this bread commercial, that got him on the map with, and it's only Convoy originally that he wrote, and then everything else I think he wrote.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And it's this farmer man, and he's like, is that the one where he goes into the shop and then like Blondie's like giving him fuck me eyes, and then he's like, let's go for a ride to the drive-in movie theater.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, sure, only if my mom can come. And then
her,
and like, mom like, comes
sure,
out.
Why
he's
not?
Like, so the three of us went down to the drive-in theater. And then he's
why
like,
does he say yes?
Like, I don't know.
Was it a
Cause he doesn't
pointed come. Question in that she's asking but is really demanding? Because, like, why the fuck would you say yes to that?
But I think, well, I think that's a joke, though, is like, I don't know. He's like, her and her mom. But they go, he drives his giant truck, not his pickup truck, what am I saying? Giant truck into the drive-in, and they watch a movie, and the mom is in the middle, so he really got cock-blocked there.
Just being like, you got any popcorn?
Yeah, I got any popcorn.
Have you ever been to a drive-in?
I have never been through a drive-in, have you?
I went over the summer.
How was it? What did you see?
Oh, fuck, what did I even watch? That's not a good sign. we got pretty stoned, and there was one other car there parked very far away from us.
Wait, there was only two in the whole thing?
Yeah, so we didn't really pay attention to the movie,
Yeah, you gotta brag on your own fucking podcast. That's embarrassing.
Am I being dirt off my shoulder right now?
I'm the one with the Sex and Love podcast, okay?
You
have no excuse. You have no excuse. But that makes sense if you're the only.
No, we fell asleep is what I meant.
For sure. That's so fucking... I don't know. That ruins the whole thing for me. At that point, just go to a parking lot.
It was just not a great movie.
Yeah, well, clearly you don't remember it.
No. I literally don't remember what we went to see.
But where was this? Where in...
In California.
Oh, okay. Oh, where?
Near? Fucking hell. Where does she even live? I mean, it's like one of the smaller towns outside of LA.
Then I wouldn't know. I'm a northern gal, but that's funny. I know I've never been. I always want. I mean, that '70s show has like, that's a whole thing. They do it all the time.
I really like
and my
the
dad
idea.
Used to go all the time.
No, I posted. I posted something to my Instagram story about it, seeing if anybody would respond, and two people did respond.
Mm.
My shit, I think he's like technically my second cousin because he's my dad's cousin. Mm-hmm. The second cousin. Mm-hmm. But he said, a storyteller, a tale that still resonates with many truckers on the road today.
Lovely. Classic.
And yeah, I don't know why. I feel like if I were a trucker on the road today, I would feel like made fun of almost.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about the whole is so because we looked up all of the, like, a bunch of his stuff on YouTube, and all the comments are like, mm-hmm. my papa was a truck driver and he mm-hmm. died 5 years ago. We with listened to this today. Yeah, as the profile photo.
Yeah.
And they're like, I listened to this today and I felt his spirit in the car with us. And I was like, that's so interesting. they love it. And they're like, this yeah. is us. This is our truck driving culture.
Yeah.
But I'm like, he wasn't a truck driver, and the songs feel like, so that's the thing, is it like...
No, he wasn't. It's like fake.
It's fake. It's yeah. very fake. And to me, that's so interesting because if I was a truck driver, I would want to listen to like Johnny Kool-Aid and George Jones and like real, I don't know, people, because... Yeah. And I've been thinking about this a lot because modern country is just pop country. Like mm-hmm. Luke Bryan or what's his name? Yeah, would you yeah. go with me? You know, that was my brother's yeah. fucking wedding song. And oh, that's fine. No. But,
come on, man.
Yeah. He's like an old, so, and that's fine. But, like, the reason I despise pop country is A.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. B, it's just so sad that, like, the people that listen to country are racists because it's like, where does that music come from, you fucking dingwit? But whatever. And then, like, come on. But it's fine. Whatever. I'm not gonna, but. Really, it's sad to me because it's like, I have this shiny truck and I have a hot wife and we're like dancing and we're so drunk, and it's like very
formulaic.
It's formulaic, yes, but it's also so, it's like happy. Like, it's never, like, I've never heard a modern country song that's like, I'm really sad. They're all like,
I got you covered. I'll send you some after this.
Okay. But no, let me pretend that that doesn't exist.
That's fair.
But on country.
No, like, I understand your point entirely. It's because, like, the overwhelming amount of country that you hear in the modern era is what I like to call PBR country or... just beer can country in general.
Yeah.
And there's a formula into it. There's, you got to mention your pickup truck. You got to mention your wife.
Right.
You got to mention maybe your horse. And then you're in some sort of water feature, be it a lake or a beach, with a beer can.
Yeah. And it's like, country girl, shake it for me. Like, that song is the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And that's fine. But what's interesting to me is that, like, now getting into old country, like old country, it's so sad. There's like not a single happy old country song because it comes from blues,
right.
And so they're all just really, really sad and really like heartbreaking.
Because if you're happy, you're busy doing something else. If you're sad, that's when you sit down with your guitar and let it out.
Literally.
Yeah.
And it's like it's gloomy and it's I'm so lonesome and I'm so like
Hank Williams.
Exactly. And it's interesting how we've slowly like shifted away. A, it's become phony, and B, it's become happier.
Thank you for tuning in to Albums Without Borders. Stay tuned for the rest of the show after this short break.
Bulldog Mac with a can on back and a Jaguar hauling ass. He's 10 on the floor, stroking bores, seat cover starting to gain. Now, Beaver, you were trucking with a rubber duck, and I'm about to pull a plug on you.
You are listening to WRP.
Mexico on I-40 like a Texas lizard on glass. 1,000 pedals was mashing the metal and bears was a-walking the grass. We trucked all day and we trucked all night, Big Benny improving our style. We could tell by the smell we was heading for hell and the devil was Dirty Lyle. Mike.
big nasty. We sure are glad you're along on this here run to kick ass, don't you know? I'm 10-4. I know you can't see kick ass. Won't see me back.
Well, that big black Mac stopped dead in her tracks when the trailer blew high in the air. There was pieces of truck and some pieces of duck, junk and debris everywhere. Then the rig took a drink and commenced to sink, and there was no duck no more. But that evil smile from dirty old Lyle showed south from the North Texas shore.
And we're back with the show.
No, and but I think there's been a revitalization of that old type of country, and people are starting to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that a platform like TikTok, which you wouldn't expect to, I don't know, it's hard to say because obviously your For You page is built for you. Like the algorithm figures out what you want and gives it to you. But it seems to be hugely popular on TikTok, like Coulter Wall and Tyler Childers and Zach Bryan all make this type of older country, maybe with modern production techniques, but they're talking for the most part about family values and sadness and depression and drinking a shit ton. Mm-hmm, and that's why I relate. Sadness
we're
and
gonna,
alcohol.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We're going to I'm studying psychology. Remember that?
All eyes are on you. I'm here for a free...
for free therapy. Yeah, free evaluation. For sure. Interesting. Tell me more about Pappy.
You're free next week.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have a catch. But, that's true. So there's a revitalization of that, which I think is really interesting. There's also... It's funny that, like... what's the song? Like, cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other is by... what's his fucking name?
It's on your gay country playlist.
It's actually on my regular. No, it is on my gay country playlist actually. By Willie Nelson. Like Willie Nelson came out in 2010 with "Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Found."
Willie Nelson came out in 2010.
Yes, as gay. Yes, "Brokeback Mountain" really inspired him.
That's
cool. But like, so on the upside, or like Marielle Buckley and like so many other Indigo Girls and. Mm. Esther Rose and Bella White. Yeah, they're sick. Mm-hmm. And Indigo, like Country Radio by Indigo Girls is like the cutest, saddest, sweetest song ever. Mm. So, I just think that we also have like more diverse and interesting country, which is really important. And that's always been there. Like Lavender Country is, that was done in like the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, they're still live and they still go on tour. And
a band, Lavender Country?
I guess. It's two of them, so okay. It's a band. And their biggest song is Crying These Cocksucking Tears. And
amazing.
And Straight White Patterns and To a Woman and a bunch of them. Back in the Closet Again, which is like, I'm back in the closet again. But anyway, so like...
makes me think of the Aerosmith.
So like country, so or there's just I think now, and there's like queer owned farms or like again people who are like opening up about how the world of or agriculture in general is filled with queer people and people of color, and it's not like who feeds you know, like it's
and it had been
and it's always been
it's just about a whitewashing factor, a straight washing factor.
Exactly. Right. I mean. I read this book all about like the history of cowboys and whitewashed so much. I mean, like so many cowboys in the era were black, and it's just like not in the image of like then it became cowboys versus Indians, and it just became like it became this again, like this propaganda of like the outlaw cowboy and masculinity
and
stuff.
Which is so funny to think about it being propaganda when it's completely mythicized version of it, and what they're actually revering, these people that the propaganda works on, were a bunch of queer interracial
that exactly cowboys. It's funny to think, because
what do you think they did out there by themselves
literally
for months at a time?
That's the thing, is like, and that's what the book said, was like, you were it was just men.
There's
like
just for, no babies for, to show for
there's
it.
There's
yeah,
that's literally.
That's not how that works.
Literally, yeah. exactly. There is no evidence.
They're just
but trust
rampant
me.
STDs. That's all. But
that's
they're not going to get
that's
tested.
All. Yeah, because it's
there's
fucking...
no Planned Parenthood out there.
And I think even if there was, I don't think these cowboys had the time to go to Planned Parenthood. No. So
just
you know,
cut it off.
Just cut it off. So you know, that's so it's just very interesting. So no, that's good. It's it, now it's coming. It's I don't know. We're having a little, but I think at the same time, you still have like I was thinking about this, because I was like, oh, I love playing with the country aesthetic because it's really really fun, mm-hmm. and it's like I don't know. I think. If you're into fashion and you're into like alternative style, it's very easy to like accidentally culturally appropriate. And like a lot of girls at raves, I see them with the Vindies and the headdresses, and it's like, oh shit. So it's fun to play with country aesthetic because it's like I am ripping off my own conservative uncle, right. which is really fun. Mm. But then there's like a socioeconomic factor of like, yes, this is where technically my dad's side of the family comes from, and they were all farmers and shit. But and they all are still in that world, but. I wasn't raised that way, and I was raised pretty affluent and pretty like far away from that side of my family. And so I think like I don't want to be another like left coast elite that's like making fun of hillbillies.
Yeah. You think that is appropriation?
I don't know. I don't know. In a way, it's like that's just my Uncle Jim. I can make fun of him.
Yeah.
But then part of me is like, but that gets done all the time with like California.
But you're not putting it on to for a joke. You still like the way it looks.
Yeah, that's true. And I genuinely listen to country because I like it. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, but speaking of appropriation, I don't know. It's a little segue. It's not really appropriation what he does. It's just blatant racism on the track.
Which one?
On he does a sequel to Convoy where they go around the world.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
What's it called? It is called... Around the World with a Rubber Duck.
Oh, yeah, fuck, yeah.
And he does, like, indiscriminately does a bunch of... Oh, I just lost audio.
We lost audio.
Yeah. No, it's back. Is it there?
No. I don't know
what happened.
Oh, we're back.
There we
we're
go.
Back.
We're good.
Back.
Okay. I just won't move.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he indiscriminately
does.
That's
the spirit of C.W. McCall, being like, you will not.
You will not talk shit about me on your show, boy.
He was like, he was listening, he was like, yep, they're all saying that.
Racism? Couldn't be me.
No, but he like indiscriminately does a bunch of accents. And what's funny is it doesn't seem racist. It just seems crude, obviously, until he gets to somebody whose skin color doesn't match his.
And then it gets really bad.
And he's doing an Asian accent where he does the linguistic variation with L's and R's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they call it like loba ducky.
Oh, jeez. So I think, but maybe that's what like saves him in the eyes of the truckers. Is because they're
well,
like...
Well, at least he's a little racist.
Or like, I don't know, he's not just making fun of me. You know what I mean? Like,
right. But I don't think they think he's making fun of him at all.
Yeah. Do they think he's one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Clearly from like the comments we read on the YouTube page, they're like, I just started trucking last month and I still listen to shit like this and it just makes me feel like so free
and
American.
And so understood. Yeah, it's like, what...
He's selling you
but
something,
literally,
which I guess is very American.
It is. It's very American to be fucking finagled by advertising. But that reminds me of Johnny Cash.
I was
going to
say,
of like he, because the only, like, he served, what's the one that's like, not pussy shit, but it's like the one that isn't the Army Corps. What is it? No.
I don't appreciate the anti-feminist language.
When you shit on the military, you better not call him pussies. You better call him. Yeah, but no. Anyway, and he was serving near Folsom Prison. And so they
like National Guard.
National Guard, that's what it was. Mm. And
so he just walked around.
He just walked around Folsom Prison and like watched a movie about Folsom Prison once. And then he was like,
I've seen this shit.
So he writes Folsom Prison Blues, amazing song, incredible song. And
do you know the cheers from the prisoners aren't real in that? You know how they cheer in that song, the prisoners?
Yeah.
They're not real cheers. Because they were too scared of the guards to cheer, and so they added that in post-production.
Really?
Really.
You just broke my heart.
I'm sorry.
That's ruined everything I like about that album. That's so sad.
Yeah. They wanted to. They were, like, riled up. They were excited to see Johnny Cash, but apparently the brutality between guards and prisoners was so much to the point where, like, if we give them any reason to beat us up, they're going to take it.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because this whole time I was like, wow, that's, like, the one, I mean, like, Johnny Cash wasn't great in other ways politically because, like, Reagan liked him, but at least, like, that was an interesting thing when it came to, like, prison reform. That's so sad. That's, like, my favorite, because they're, like, but you hear him singing along, too. Is that all fake?
Mm-hmm.
But what about the part where they're, like, these prisoners have reception, and Johnny Cash is, like,
I don't know
that.
About the whole album. I just know from the song Folsom Prison Blues. Do they say that in that song? I don't know.
Well, but that's from an album that he did live at Folsom Prison. So I guess if that's fake, then it all has to be fake.
I guess so.
But no, so what's funny about that is, yeah, he was never in prison. And that was the whole thing is, like, all of these prisoners were writing him letters of being like, oh, man, like, you understand me. This is wonderful. And in the movie, I don't know how real that is. But, yeah, there's a scene where his wife is like, fucking 13-year-old girls are sending you Cash with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, all these 13-year-old girls are sending you letters being like, oh, my God, Cash, I hope you get out of prison soon. I love you. Well, that's another story. But she was like, what the fuck? You've never been to prison. This is all so fake. And then, you know, he actually ends up in some legal trouble because of his coke addiction. So, you know, manifesting. Yeah. But
he did like cocaine.
He really did.
Yeah.
Cocaine blues. But it's funny, this, like, fake, like, we're so obsessed with this, like, outlaw figure, and so many times the one that we're, like, worshipping is really fake.
Yeah, because maybe, like, the person who is best at telling the story is not the best representative or example of that actual culture, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Johnny Cash was an artist. I don't think that's disputable.
No.
And just because he was, I don't know, he paid attention to the music and stuff growing up, right? So he wasn't out doing the outlaw shit. But then what do people want to hear? What is, you know, they want to hear stuff that's anti-establishment. They want to hear, you know, because their daily struggles. It's like that meme of me on my way to my 9-to-5 listening to rap music about people selling drugs and murdering people.
Right.
There's some gratification. There's something
you
want
to be like, yeah, I'm, I've, you know, fuck everyone, and then you just continue to like do everything.
But you're like, but I gotta go. You know, I've got a kid at home.
Right. I need to keep going. Yeah, and I guess one could argue, like, does it matter if they're fake? If, like, the people that they're pandering to
love it
and feel understood by, like, prisoners ate up Johnny Cash's work because they're like, yeah, I killed someone and I live a terrible life, and you know, and he'd makes, I mean, like, all the gallows humor in his songs too.
It's the same thing for him with Merle Haggard's Okie from Muskogee, where he's making fun of people from Oklahoma,
but everyone in Oklahoma loves it
to such a dry degree that they didn't take it with any hint of sarcasm or anything. They were just like, no, this is amazing, this is our anthem now.
yeah.
And then after that success, he started catering to them, because why wouldn't you? Because
you get to make money that way.
Now that featured on, so Convoy, which is C.W. McCall's most famous song. I saw the clip about a movie, and I assumed that he wrote the song for the movie, or saw the movie, wrote the song. He wrote the song in 1975, or released the song in 1975, and the movie came out in 1978. So the movie is based on the song.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. They made a whole movie off of...
Yeah, Tom and so, like, that, when I was talking earlier about how cinematic it is, and the fact that he uses the two-way radio.
Right.
And then you can hear, and he calls himself Rubber Duck, and he's looking for... that's the names of the characters in the movie. They use the same plot. But Okie from Muskogee by Merle Haggard is also in that movie.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Huh.
I should have watched the movie.
Yeah, what movie is it?
It's called Convoy.
Oh, it's called... Okay, cool. Oh, all right. Well, I'll watch that too, but...
It's a 1978 film by Sam Peckinpah. What a weird name. And it's starring Chris Christopherson. Hello, I'm Chris Christopherson.
What are these names?
You don't know who Chris Christopherson is?
No, I don't.
Okay. I know Chris Christopherson mainly because you know the band Big and Rich.
No.
But you know the song Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Yes, I do.
That's by Big and Rich. And they do a song called The 8th of November, which details... it details some infantry platoon in Vietnam very much storytelling the same way C.W. McCall does it, just not about trucking, about soldiers. Mm. And it's narrated by Kris Kristofferson. There's like a 2-minute long intro that precedes the song, and he, you know, tells the story. And it's great imagery, very cinematic, but he introduces himself. Hello, I'm Kris Kristofferson. And this here, yeah.
That's funny. That's a good name. Kris Kristofferson.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.
Get out of here.
What?
He apparently wrote Me and Bobby McGee.
No!
Janis Joplin covers.
No, don't you dare tell me what Janis Joplin covers.
Not everything's about you.
Me.
We got listeners.
That's true. Three of them. And my dad probably, who will hate listening.
Well, it's your dad, my mom.
And
Jim.
And my friend Hannah, probably.
Oh, shout out Hannah.
But Izzy will listen, maybe. Izzy,
if
you're
listening.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. I have more friends than you, so.
That's true. We'll get it's more. Not hard. I've got one. It's my mom.
So we'll get lots of listens this episode. Cause
bet. I make a penny per listen, so.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe I'll go back to C.W. McCall time and buy a gumball.
Yeah.
Oh, Kris Kristofferson's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. He had to do with something.
Interesting. Kris, where is the Country Music Hall of Fame?
Why did his parents do that to him, though?
That's like insane. Kris Kristofferson. Mm. Like, you just, that's a lot. What was
do you think the Country Music Hall of Fame is?
I don't, Come Nashville?
On. Yeah.
Okay. I was scared. I don't know. No, I'm trying to think of other examples where, like, the parody doesn't get taken as parody. That happens all the time.
Weird Al, that shit's art.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, I just love this concept of like someone being made fun of and not realizing it. Just being like, I love this. Mm.
He was in a super group, Kris Kristofferson was, with Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and Johnny Cash.
Oh, he's in the Highwaymen?
Apparently.
Kris Kristofferson is in the Highwaymen. Yeah. How did I not know that? That's crazy. I only knew of the other three members.
Which was a creative force in outlaw country.
The Highwaymen is like peak, because like, okay, you've all had your individual careers.
But they're now actually committing crime in these songs, as opposed to going over the speed limit and carrying too much weight, right?
Right.
I don't understand how people like really get jazzed up being like, oh yeah, this is some serious anti-establishment outlaw shit. That's, listening to the trucking songs.
And
he's always running
from police, and I'm just like, what is he doing?
Yeah,
but I think
they call him Smokies. Well, on Genius somebody listed a bunch of the names that they called different police officers. Let me see if I still have the tab up. Where is it? I think I do. Oh yeah, here we go.
I'm excited, an
extensive list. So bears, when they mentioned bears, and a Jimmy Holland Hogs, we was heading for a bear. So,
oh, that's cops.
That's yeah. Bear means cops apparently, which is a general, two-way radio term for police. It's short for Smokey the Bear, and it's in reference to the hat that he wears, which the officers would wear the same.
So that's why he says Smokey.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's so rude to Smokey the Bear.
It is a little bit. What the hell did
like,
he
Smokey
do?
Smokey the Bear is just hanging out. He's
you know,
really
it's a real
cute.
Bear, like from New Mexico. They found in a forest fire.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he was like their so mascot cute. For a while, and he was a real bear. And I think they replaced him with other bears, like new bears, as after he died, because they wanted this like mascot for forest fires, because it was a bigger problem. But anyway, they had all these names for cops, including a baby bear, policeman in training, bear in a plane. Color name wrapper. So bear in a blue wrapper would be like an unmarked police car that's
okay,
blue.
Okay.
Bear in the air. Helicopter. Beaver bear, a female state trooper.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little crude on that one. Mama bear, city kitty, county mountie, Evel Knievel is a bear on a motorcycle. Green stamp collector is a policeman with a radar gun hiding in the bushes. That one's pretty obvious.
Right, yeah.
Jackrabbit, a Kojak with a Kodak is a policeman with a radar as well. Miss Piggy. The female ones need some more creativity
Miss Piggy,
about them.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Night crawlers, many police in a small area. Open season, too many police in a small area. Uh-huh, uh-huh. A panda bear is a Texas state trooper. I'm assuming Texas state troopers wear black and white.
Interesting, okay.
But yeah, it just keeps going.
That's so
watch
funny.
Your donkey means a policeman coming up behind you.
Okay, watch your donkey.
For I sure. think I might incorporate that into my language.
But not for that, just in general. Just
when I encounter the police
when you
often.
The police often. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, but I'm imagine, very outlaw.
Oh, for sure, for uh-huh. sure. Oh, everything about you uh-huh. says outlaw, George.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My ear is pierced.
Oh, yeah. You have one tattoo. Uh-huh.
Well, technically it's two letters, so
oh,
like,
my God, you're so right.
Might be considered
wow.
two tattoos.
Yeah. Two tattoos. That's crazy.
It is.
That's wild.
My mom also thinks so.
Yeah. Oh, my mom thinks more than crazy about
oh, really?
My tattoos. I have a cowboy
so
tattoo.
Cute,
so, yeah, but this one, it's a little
it's a
big.
Large.
It's a little
he's
large.
A little large.
He's very, he has a presence for
he does,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a large,
cowboy tattoo.
Yeah,
on
cowboy
my,
tattoo on her
like,
left
that's
arm.
A cowboy, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is. I would have just said a countryman.
A countryman?
A country boy.
He's heartbroken.
He's well dressed.
Yeah, he's very well dressed. He's like a cowboy going out to the dance.
He's holding
or
up
something.
His sign.
No, it's a well, it's a letter, and he's heartbroken.
Aww.
There's a little broken heart.
Pobrecito.
There. But yeah, literally, it's you know, but it's okay. He's gonna be okay.
He's found solace on your arm.
He has. He yeah. has. He enjoys.
He's got company.
He has company.
It's cute.
That's yeah. but yeah, I don't know where. Yeah, I think my love of country music itself is just nostalgia for my, like, family and stuff. But, and also it's, like, I love doing things, ironically. So it started kind of ironically.
Things that, like, people don't expect of you?
Yes, yes. There's certain things in style that, I have this big skull ring that I love. Like, I love sometimes going, like, dressing, like, motorcycle man or something because I just am not an intimidating person or like I had a phase where I loved Irish rap because it was just like so funny. It's really good though. That's also tons of anti-establishment
yeah.
like the best anti-establishment.
Yeah, I bet. The Irish
so good. Oh, so funny. Well, I'm just trying like there's so many things I've
it's not that much of a deviation from Irish like folk either, you know, like rap,
in yeah
rap
in vibe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, this
I just mean like the way like that's the tempo,
yes,
the characterization of the language and the actual speech patterns. That
absolutely,
they use.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's now they're talking about, you know.
Not really feel. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Can't compare Tupac to it. But.
No. But no, it's very funny. So anyway, it's like it started ironic, and I was like, you know, ha ha ha.
And then you're like, fuck, this is me now. I
this
guess.
This is fun. Yeah, I was like, this is great. Or now all my like, yeah, all my friends know me as a little, you know. Countrified
yeah.
or like I don't know I have like yeah when I'm back home and we're driving and I start playing country all my friends are like no
I love it
and I'm like ha ha ha
no for me so. It's similar I don't really have any direct roots to country music. My dad's side of the family's from New Mexico and my dad loves country music, so I guess that's kind of direct, but
yeah,
I grew up overseas and
country didn't hit abroad. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and until I got older.
There's so much better music to listen to.
Yeah, and I think I got like I kind of slid into it, maybe a little bit from summer camp and a little bit from my father who would play some country. But on my own, I found the only pop country that I really enjoy, and I still enjoy them to this day, and I credit them getting me into country, is Zac Brown Band.
I do not know.
I like Zac. Well, you know Chicken Fried.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You've got to.
I don't.
And a little bit of Chicken Fried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cold beer.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
Friday
yeah.
Night.
Don't even.
Right.
Don't.
No, they're actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm,
But that got me like back into listening to country. And then this track recently, especially Tyler Childers, who I talk about all the time on this show, no matter what album we're doing, I somehow managed to factor him into the conversation.
You're obsessed.
I am obsessed.
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing a show in London on February 10th. And there's an Arsenal game February 11th. And I'm gonna go. I'm gonna skip class to go next semester, and I'm so excited.
Cool. I'm happy for you.
In London? That's crazy. The rest of his tour is in the States, but he's doing two shows in London.
Two shows in London, because he was like, okay, the other English-speaking folk I can go see.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-mm.
And I used to live in London, so it'll be cool to go back. And
cool.
Yeah.
Well, what got me back? I don't know. Rodeo by City Girls really helped me cement my cowgirl aesthetic, which was very fun.
Very nice.
But
I need to get me some cowboy boots for my cowgirl aesthetic.
For your cowgirl aesthetic, yeah. We need to get you some. I think, yeah, no, but as I said, I think it's just nostalgia.
Nostalgia for some memories you don't actually have?
No, for memories that I do actually have, okay. George.
Because you said your family spent time there. Did you spend a lot of time out there?
Well, so we're talking Minnesota, and yes. Okay. So there's an Armstrong.
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's this Armstrong clan reunion.
Oh, sure. You betcha.
Yeah, you betcha. Oh, honey, don't you know. Once a year, every summer, on the lake, and you're nice. Having corn dogs and hot dogs, and mm-hmm. you're on the lake. So I would go to that a lot. That and funerals is where I would listen.
I'm listening.
There's
it's
a lot
funny.
Of fucking funerals.
People die.
And that's the biggest family reunion ever. Because I was the little half Italian,
too much potato
born
salad.
In Tokyo, fucking California bitch. So
I
it was hard for
it.
Me to, you know, this bitch born in Tokyo who is a, it was just she's a city girl. There yeah. is the kind of energy mm-hmm. that I gave. But hey, at my grandpa's funeral, when the shots were fired because he was a veteran or whatever, I got my clout. I was like, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, I belong here.
I didn't
here.
Even flinch.
I didn't
not
even,
once.
Yeah, not even, though. I held the little rest
what
up.
What was that?
And there it goes again. Yeah, so, and then 4th of July with the shakies because of the fucking, you know, guns from the funeral that I never got over. But no, so that's kind of my...
path into country.
And like America, like that's... Because I didn't live in America for most of my childhood, so it was only that like brought me to America culture. so yeah, this nostalgia of this like family that I was almost a part of, but not as much Absolutely. A part of as I wanted to be. Because my dad like ran away from that. Like he's so embarrassed.
Oh, really?
He wishes he was European. He wishes he was never from Minnesota. He is so embarrassed, and he hates. Everything about
it's
like
so,
so I grew up like he just like I mean he hates everything that reminds me him of that he's like no you know everything from Wonder Bread to fucking
oh,
like
God. That's fair
that's
point.
Fair
yeah.
but you know just everything that reminds him of that life he's like no he's like I think he was like is my daughter's gonna be cultured is what I think he wanted which is great but
I think my dad did that but like less vehemently he did it like just I'm done with this I'm leaving
right
I don't think he has I don't know. He expresses some shame, and when we're back in like small town New Mexico, he'll be like, "I can't believe people live like this," you know. But he doesn't express like disdain for it. And there's definitely parts of it that he really loves, like emptying out the flower bed and making a smoker out of it, tin foil, and taking the one or two horses that we have around the property still, and. Cowboy boots, cowboy hat, and pearl snaps. He loves pearl snaps. to be fair, I like pearl snaps.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
Good stuff. That's I have a denim pearl snap
you
shirt.
You do?
Yeah,
that's good.
I'll break it out.
Yeah, yeah, you should. You should. With a, what are they called? The cowboy tie? What's cowboy
oh, with
tie?
A bolo tie?
Yeah.
I don't know where my bolo tie is. I have one that my uncle gave me years ago.
You have to stop losing shit.
I move country every like 3 years. Yes, I do have to stop losing shit. You're right. But like... Where am I supposed to put it?
Valid concern. Yeah.
Yeah. You go through French customs. They're like, what even is this?
What is this? A polo tie? I've never heard of this.
Yes, it's a very strange.
In this country, you don't wear a metal.
Strangulation
and,
device.
You like asphyxiation? George, you
yes,
little freak boy.
Yes, I do.
But that's what. Yeah, that's why you lost. That's why you lost the polo tie. This is not my podcast.
And now we meld into...
We segment. Yeah, we segue to... So, Cowboys and Kinks. Welcome, everybody, to this episode.
Cowboys and Kinks is a fucking great name for a podcast.
Yeah, that's my podcast from now on.
Hell
we're going to change
it. I used to listen to a podcast that detailed crazy stories from country musicians called Cocaine and Rhinestones.
Oh, nice. Beautiful name. Cocaine and Rhinestones. That's beautiful.
But yeah.
Is the Rhinestones... Oh, because that's...
Like Rhinestone Cowboy?
That's... I was going to say I love that song.
Yeah.
Because
a rhinestone just refers to any fake precious jewel, right?
Right.
And so it's just about, like, being opulent but not actually having a lot of money. I don't know. But some of the stories that come from that podcast are wild. Absolutely wild.
Absolutely wild.
Absolutely wild. I think that's about all we have time for today.
I think so, too.
It has been... Wonderful haphazard conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for following along, if you followed along.
And give a listen to C.W. McCall.
Give him
a
listen.
Today.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to World Radio Paris. This has been Albums Without Borders. Bye.
Bye.
Bears to the left, bears to the right. We didn't have no place to go. They had us backed up clean to the shore, and them cab over peach don't float. I says, Big Pen, I got me a good idea. Them friends of Jesus gonna save us. So praise the Lord, Mr. Ford, and follow that microbus 10-4. Whales. Sank about 110 of them. I says, Big Pen, they just didn't have no faith. They definitely gone 10-7. By the time we got into that Piccadilly town, about half of them was lost at sea. I says, break 1-9 for a 10-33. What we got was a cotton pick of BBC.
Hey, say, Faversham, looks like the Americans have got themselves another bloody convoy.
Oh, oh, oh,
look at them all. Half of them are sinking in the Thames. Hello, some of our truck chaps are assisting them. Good show, actually. Oh well, 10-4, all that rubbish.
Well, we crossed that channel like snakes on glass and stormed the beach about dawn. I says, grab your shifters and punch 13. We all going trucking on the Autobahn. Now, Pig Pen, this here's the ultimate slab, cause there goes a Mercedes truck. He says, break 1-3 for the strudel machine. You just blew the doors off in the duck. How about it?
Oh, sounds terrible, Duck. We are receiving a word to word, but the speed limit of the Autobahn is 200 nickels. You've traveled too slow, but Duck, we're going to see you around. We're going, do you think?
Well, we stopped for a coffee in West Berlin. The British had 100-mile key. I says, Pig Pen, from here on, it's wall-to-wall bear. It says, bash the wall, we're going to see. Well, the big red bears must have been in the bush, but we didn't see one all day. So we raked up the leaves and we shook out the trees till we finally had something to say. You got it.
Comrade Duck, you have been given until daybreak in Berlin to get your cotton picking trucks out of the USSR. You will come.
Well, we shot them rigs through Salt Mine City with a hammer and a sickle on down. Then we hit the fan through the Sea of Japan, tuned in the transistor town. I says, Big Pen, this here must be a place, cause everybody's eating with sticks. He says, 10-4, this here is CB land, cause my channel knob just went crank.
Ah, so lovely, Duck. You have a nice day today. Better day tomorrow. We catch you on trip prop. This one kamikaze alley. We gone, so you know.
Yo, ho, ho, and a thousand ducks gonna take a bath with a lumber duck. Yo, ho, ho, and a rat's a rat. Round the world with a lumber duck.
Ah, 10-4, Big Ben. What's your 20? Australia? Mercy sakes, ain't nothing down there but Tasmanian devils and them Q-Ala bears. What's that? No double nickel limit. We gonna be there in a short, Pig Pen. This here's Rubber Duck 10-10 and doing it to it like Pruitt used to do it to it. We gone. Bye-bye.
You are listening to WRP.